shaking her fist, and an eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here when you hear Mother Freedom.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the Conservative Voice here on WWDB 860 AM. I'm Don Blaschel Jr. here along with my good friend and co-host Joanne Suppressi. Hello, Joanne, and how are you today? And the big question I have for you is, are you ready for Christmas?
I am getting ready for Christmas. Yeah, I need a mic. I was speaking into thin air. Sorry, everyone. So, yeah, I am absolutely, I'm actually ready for Christmas. I got most of my Christmas gifts done for my daughters. I like to shop early when I can. And as we've been talking about on social media and last week, I'm also running the 7th annual Foster Kid Christmas Gift Drive. And Don Beischel, my friend and co-host, has offered to share it with all of you. And I thought that was a really great idea, because the more people who can help these children, especially right now with children being stuck in their homes, away from their friends, most of them not going to school. Now sports are canceled. So we can use all the help we can get today and for the next few days, so we can help children feel more appreciated than,
And again, of course, we're going to talk about the big middle finger the governor gave all the small business owners yesterday, especially the restaurants and the bars, basically all the service businesses and their employees. You know, here at Christmas time, a time when these people need to work and small businesses depend on, you know, their ability to work and survive. You know, and however, but today we are going to do something a little different than our usual routine. And we're asking everybody if you would like to call in and make a donation or pledge support for our toy drive or our gift drive, so to speak, is what we're doing. And we're trying to get gifts for foster children and plus help some families in need. So the call-in number is 888-329-3306. And again, if you can call in, and Joanne has also set up an Amazon wish list link that you could go to, and she also has a Venmo account. So Joanne, why don't you explain to the listeners about all that?
Yeah, so I included the link on my Twitter feed. It's the top post, so it is at Joanne Suppressi. So just go to my Twitter feed, and that will be the easiest way to click the link to the Amazon list. So what I do is I create a personal Amazon list based off of what the children's wish lists are. So I get a list from children, youth, or from the families that actually have these foster children, and then I create a wish list on Amazon based off of their wish list. And we are also helping families in need as well this year because of the COVID. There are a lot of families, obviously, that are struggling because either they lost their own personal business, you know, where they made the income to support their family, or because they lost their job, you know, or their hours were cut back. So we have a bunch of families that we're helping there. And I got some more calls yesterday after the Governor Wolf's new mandates. Some of these people, some other families, the breadwinner is going to be laid off. And so I got some calls yesterday asking if we can help even more people. So hopefully we can. So for that, we're collecting we're collecting donations so we could buy grocery gift cards to give them, because food's one of the most important things. And I also had a thought, because restaurants are now being affected, if you want to donate also so we could buy gift cards for restaurants that we can give to families in need as well. So and then we'll support the local restaurants that are staying open. And you could do that. I have a Venmo account. It's called Inspire Vision, just as it sounds. It's spelled just like that. So it's INSPIRE and then Vision, VISION.
Great. So, again, one of the things we are asking all our loyal listeners to do, and I know you guys are out there, if you're able, everybody has had a tough year. I mean, you know, they have. But there are some people, obviously, that are facing a little more difficulty than others. And that's why, Joanne's been doing this for about 7 years. And my suggestion to her was, well, why don't we send it out to the listeners as well? Maybe we can help some even more families.
Yeah.
And
since you shared it on Facebook, I actually had three different people who told me they saw your post and they already bought some gifts off the Amazon list for the children. And then I shared it on Twitter, which I sometimes do, sometimes don't. And I actually had three people so far buy gifts from there as well. So it's been really good.
Yep. And I had somebody make a pledge for a donation today. Susan McLean, she donated $50 towards the effort. So, if you want to make a donation, if you want to call in and pledge and talk about anything you want, the number is 888-329-3306. So before we get into what happened yesterday with the governor and stuff, I do want Joanne to give you a little background on why she's doing this, what prompted her to do this, and how it's been going over the years.
All right. So I was placed into foster care at age 13. So I personally know what it's like to go through the holidays without seeing my family, without, you know, feeling valued, without getting any type of attention. And I remember, foster care is hard to begin with because you're in there with a bunch of strange people that you've never known before, and you're living in their house and you don't really feel like you belong. But, you know, then the holidays come and you sort of expect, you know, like, I remember my holidays were amazing. You know, growing up, we had family get-togethers. We had tons of food around, and my family was still doing that. But here I was in a strange family, not having that same experience, but it was with just strangers. The gifts. I remember one foster family. They when you're in a foster care system, you get clothing allowance every 3 or 4 months, depending on the system. And that clothing allowance goes towards, your clothes. I had one foster family actually took my clothing allowance to buy me Christmas gifts. You know, so like foster children, some of the parents are wonderful and great, but they also don't have the money to spend to buy foster children gifts. So I started this because I know what it's like. I know how lonely it is. I know how just unvalued you feel. So I started this so that we can try to make foster children who are neglected by their own families for one reason or another to feel valued, to feel like somebody is thinking about them and somebody is caring for them, you know, to have that type of connection. Connection matters, and to be thought about and valued matters. So I'm hoping to pass that on to these children.
And it's great. The other thing too, if you've already donated and you've gone to the wish list on Amazon or something, you know, feel free to call in and tell us why you did it and you know what prompted you to do it.
Yeah. So Don, how about you start off? Because you gave a very, very generous. You supported us very, very well. So go ahead, tell us about what you did, or do you want me to tell them?
Well, for me, way back in the day, back in the mid-80s, I used to own a gas station and convenience store. And the Bucks County Courier Times used to do a thing called Give a Christmas. So what I used to do in the month of December, I would donate a penny for every gallon of gas that we sold. And Christmas time, December is usually one of the busiest months. So there were years when I was in business where, you know, I donated, whether it was $1,000 or $1,500 or something like that. And again, so donation and helping out people over the years has been one of the things that I've always liked to try to do. And I constantly do it all the time. I mean, even when I go to the grocery store, I'll grab one of those tickets and, you know, donate $5 to the local food bank or something like that, because there's always somebody that's worse off than us. And mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, I tell people this all the time, you know, we grew up poor, but we just didn't know it. My parents always found a way. But the funny thing is, as much as we didn't have money, my mom always either made a donation to the church, mm-hmm. or they used to do a thing where they used to have gifts on a Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. And my mom would always, she wouldn't take just one card. She would take like three or four or five cards, you know. So it inspired me that to see that even though, you know, as I got older and I knew my parents were struggling to get by, they always found a way to contribute. So I've made it my mission and somehow in life, I don't even want to say a mission, but just because I don't think of it that way. I just think about helping other people. Yeah. So Joanne put the list up. And I went through it, and I seen different things, and
he just kept clicking.
Unfortunately, it just kept on clicking, and next thing you know, it was a couple hundred dollars worth of stuff, which is fine. You know, I don't have a problem with that because I don't know how many gifts it turned. I think it was like 15 or 16 gifts. Yeah. You know, and it was a bunch of different things for girls and boys and stuff like that. So, you know,
so we'll have some happy kids thanks to your generosity.
Yes. Yeah. So, but I'm not asking anybody to donate $200. You know, if you want to do a $25 or $10 or whatever the case may be, feel free. So, again, the number is 888-329-3306. And, again, you can also go right to Joanne's Amazon wish list thing and click on that. It's a great thing. Wish list thing is a great thing. But the best part about this is, and this is what I put on my post, all you got to do is buy the gifts. We're going to do the wrapping and the delivery.
Yeah, my daughters always help me out and wrap the gifts with me. And we take pictures and we share them. And then when I fill up my car to drop everything off, I take a picture and show everybody how filled my car is with all the gifts. So like Don said, I've been doing this for 7 years. And this year I wasn't sure if I was going to do it because of everything that's going on. And Then I started getting calls because some people call me every year and say, hey, can I help out this year again? And I was getting those calls and I got even more calls because 2 years ago I extended it out to the communities as well because I heard of some families that needed it in the communities and I got more of those calls. And I was like, all right, I think I need to do this year. You know.
Well, one of the things that I think people have to realize is with all these draconian restrictions that our governor seems to feel that it's his privilege to do, he's hurting people that are, you know, basically just going out and working every day. You know, restaurant owners, waitresses, dishwashers, you know, cooks. I mean, these are people that, you know, live paycheck to paycheck. And business owners, you know, when this first happened, they came out with these PPP loans and stuff, and some business owners were able to keep paying their employees. But there's no help been coming now for months. And then we had Nancy Pelosi just say, well, we were never going to give aid to anybody until the election was over because it was a political decision. So you're playing politics with people's lives. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, we're trying
– really.
Huh?
I was going to say, and it really makes me mostly frustrated is watching the children.
Yes.
You know, like they're playing with their lives,
right,
too. Not, I mean, we're adults, you know, I think we can handle some things, but the children, they're seeing this and it is affecting them a lot. Being, you know, they can't go out and play with their friends like they used to. You know, they can't go to school. Sports are now canceled. But yet the Eagles and the Pittsburgh Steelers can still play sports.
Yes.
So children are seeing that too. You know, what is that? What kind of impression is that putting on their mind?
And the funny thing is, I said this to somebody, you know, people, you know, the first thing you say when people come back at you is, oh, you know, you don't want people to wear masks or you don't want this, you know, you don't care about other people. That's not the truth. I tell people this all the time. If you want to wear a mask, feel free. I don't care if you wear a mask. But what bothers me is the government telling me that I have to wear a mask. And the next thing you're going to have next is the government telling you that you have to get this vaccination. Look, if you want to get it, get it. But what I'm saying to you is I don't think the government should have the authority to tell me that I have to wear a mask, that I have to get a vaccination. Or I can't work, or I can't go on a plane. I don't want the government telling me, you know, that I can't go out to a restaurant to eat. If I have a business, I don't want the government telling me, well, gee whiz, we're not only are we going to tell you can't operate your business, but we're not going to help you either. You know, so if you go under, so be it.
Yeah, and, you know, they say that this is for our health, and this is based on science, yet it seems that they are very selective with the signs that they choose. So for an example, there's a lot of research and science that backs up that regular exercise may reduce the risk of acute distress syndrome. There is a major study done at the, I'm sorry, I'm reading this, University of Virginia School of Medicine. And they found out that by exercising, you actually release an antioxidant that hunts down harmful free radicals, protects our tissues, and helps prevent diseases. And this actually helps prevent or reduce the severity of ARD. And that is one of the major causes of deaths in patients with COVID. So why aren't they sharing that science with us? Why aren't they sharing that research? Why are they punishing gyms and fitness organizations and making them close right now when there is proof? And this is just one example. There is so much scientific proof that exercise actually can help prevent COVID and other sicknesses.
Well, I think if people remember, on the first shutdown back in March, it was only going to be to slow the spread. And I think it was going to be, 5 weeks, I think it was, if I remember correctly, whatever it was. And now they're telling us it's going to be 3 weeks, yep. You know, this time. Of course, you know, months will go by before the next one happens. And one of the things you get from some of these governors is they're telling you, follow the science.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe you know this, maybe you don't, but in Los Angeles County, they had closed down all the restaurants again. And the owners said probably had enough, and they went to court. And they went before the judge, and the judge asked the county, well, what is the science that – what do you have to prove to me that restaurants are a super spreader type mm-hmm. thing, okay? And their response was, well, we don't have any science. It's just a feeling.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to mention the name, but one of the major credit card companies did a study of how many people were dining out. And so they used that and they shared the information with
right.
the government. So that's not science.
Well, not only that. And I'm going to mention the name. So it was Chase Manhattan.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
And now what they're doing is they are sharing information with the government now so that they can see if this restaurant is still open or not, and they're taking credit cards.
Are you serious?
So they can go after people.
Are you serious?
Yes. So in this Los Angeles case, the judge overruled Los Angeles County and let the restaurants open back up. Now the problem is the state also had imposed this. But the key significance here is that now you have a legal precedent where if they're going to shut you down, they have to prove there's a reason why. And so far, there is no scientific evidence that going into a bar, going into a gym, going into a movie theater increases your risk of catching COVID. And my question is very simple. If King Thomas Wolfe I was doing everything right, and he was wearing his mask like he's asking all the other minions to do, and he caught COVID.
Yep.
So, you know, explain that to me, scientific community, because here's what I want to tell you.
Yeah, I really don't understand. I mean, supposedly he's supposed to be following all the rules, right? He's supposed to be wearing a mask as soon as he leaves his house. Even perhaps in the house, doesn't he have people coming in and out of his house?
Well, he's never in his office, so I guess he's in his house.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Senator Mastriano has been looking for him for months now, and he still can't seem to find him. So I just want people to know, too, the reason Senator Mastriano isn't on today is he's speaking at the Trump rally in Harrisburg. In fact, he's probably speaking right now as we're talking. And then tomorrow he's going down to Washington, D.C., to meet with the president, and he's going to be speaking there and as of last night, he is the only elected official that's been invited to speak. So, I mean, I'm sure they're going to get other people, but you know, so we do have somebody trying to look out for us.
And I wanted to go back on talking about gyms, about scientific proof,
mm-hmm.
How there isn't any that it's causing the spread of COVID. And I wanted to share Jim Worthington, who owns the Newtown Athletic Club. He has vowed to stay open throughout this the next 3 weeks. And he shared this on his social media page. He says, out of 217,000 check-ins at the NAC since June, our data shows a COVID occurrence rate of less than 0.0001% with no identified community spread. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Well, one thing people have to realize, especially, look, I'm only going to speak to gyms at this point, but the gyms are taking such care for sanitation, for social distancing, that there's no reason to close a gym because a healthy lifestyle, this is the one thing that the science has proven, is that the more healthier you are, the less chance you have of succumbing to this virus. Mm-hmm. So again, the governor is making decisions based entirely on his, what I don't know what it is, feelings, guts, incompetent thoughts, I don't know, whatever the case may be. I'm at a loss for words right now, you know.
Yeah, and obesity and being overweight are one of the biggest risks for contracting COVID as well. So now, you know, people can say, oh, we'll just go outside and exercise or just exercise in your home. But it's not that simple. People are motivated by different things. That's why we have so many people who go to gyms. I think there's over 1,000. I'll get the number for you in a few minutes, but there's millions of people who go to the gym because that's how they're motivated, you know. And there's a variety of equipment. There's the atmosphere of being around other healthy people. Of course, now, you know, if they were allowed to be, they would be practicing social distancing. These gym owners, they want to stay open. They don't want to be known as a super right. spreader, so they're not going to be laxed in the safety precautions. So it's just very inconsiderate of the Department of Health to do this to these businesses.
One thing I can jump in on that is, you know, when I was younger, I played sports. I played sports into my mid-30s. And when you're working out, yeah, you can work out by yourself. That's fine. But it's just not the same as working out with other people. Especially if you're a competitive person, you know, because you want to, when you're working out with somebody, you always want to do better than them. And they always want to do better than you. So you push each other.
He's still running on the treadmill.
Yes. So, but the point is you push each other. And it's the same thing like when you go to a gym and you're having a trainer. The trainer's going to try to, you're going to say, oh, it hurts, I don't want to do it. And the trainer's going to say, oh, come on, you can push through it. Mm-hmm. Because they know how far they can go without damaging you. And that's the thing that the layperson doesn't know. When I had my knee replacement surgery, I'm going to tell you, my physical therapist, she probably weighed all of 110 pounds. And the pain she inflicted upon me, I can't tell you. But she knew how far to push me in my rehab, where she wasn't hurting me, but she knew that the pain was necessary for me to get full range of motion in my knee. And it's the same thing when you're working out. You know, when I played football and when I played baseball and basketball, there are these things that you have to do, and sometimes you have to push yourself further than you thought you could. And so there is an advantage to going to a gym.
Yep. And, you know, people have a social life at the gym, too.
Yes.
You know, they see their friends there. They, you know, smile and say hello to the people who greet them at the door. And you know, it boosts their energy. You know, being at the gym boosts their self-esteem. You know, they weigh themselves, you know. Yep. I mean, there's just so many benefits to go into gym. And there's some gyms I drive by, you could see right in the window, they're still wearing masks in the gym.
Yes.
It's not like they're taking off their masks and they're, you know, being reckless. I see the precautions being taken.
And see, and to me, that's a point, because look, if you haven't exercised, try exercising with a mask on.
Yeah, I won't go to the gym for that reason. Yeah. I'm keeping my membership active, but I can't wear a mask and work out. So I give credit to all these people who are doing this.
Right. It's very difficult. When I back in my running days, when I would go out and run when it was cold, you would wear something over your face, you know, and the next thing you know, like halfway through the run, you're pulling it down because you can't, A, you can't breathe, and then you're sweating like a pig, you know. So, I mean, the point is, you know, if you're going to a gym and wearing a mask, that means you're dedicated to your health. And that's the most important thing. And so before I go flip this over to Joanne again, because I want to get into the mental aspect of it, which is her wheelhouse, not mine. Mm-hmm. If you know me, you know, there's not a lot of mental up there. But anyway, so again, don't forget, we're taking donations for foster kids and for needy families. The call-in number is 888-329-3306. And again, Joanne has an Amazon wish list set up. And she has her Venmo account, which is Inspire a Vision. Mm-hmm. See that? I got that right.
You got it. Perfect. And it's all of this information is on my Twitter as well. Like I said before, it's on my first post. It's at Joanne Suppressi. So just go there. You could click the link to the Amazon list. And also the spelling for my Venmo is on there as well.
Right. And the thing that also, just check out the Facebook post. I shared it like about 60 times today. So it's probably on every group I belong to. So you can go there and click on that. So Joanne, I wanted to... So one of the things people don't realize, or they may or may not know, mm-hmm. is you're a life coach. You do all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been a mindset coach, life coach, since I was 19.
Right,
and that's over 20 years.
So forgetting the physical aspect mm-hmm. of exercise, yep. why don't we get into the mental aspect and what these isolationist shutdowns can affect you mentally, and the benefits of being around other people mentally.
Yeah, There's so many problems with these lockdowns, mentally, emotionally. Just the lack of not being able to work out. I mean, that releases these happy hormones in our body. It releases other chemicals that just make you feel good. And when you don't have those chemicals being released from working out, you simply just don't feel good. You know, depression starts setting in. Anxiety increases, depression increases, and you know, all of that leads to, you know, other issues in life, like substance abuse, because you're trying to figure out, how do I deal with this sadness? How do I deal with this depression? How do I deal with this added fear and anxiety that I never really felt before? I don't understand where it's coming from. And it comes because you're no longer doing the things you used to do that released those hormones, those neurotransmitters naturally. So then people, they have a drink and they feel good. So they have another drink, and they now they're substituting drinking or even drugs or tobacco abuse for what they used to do, like exercise, going out and laughing with your friends. People go out and dine out all the time and meet up with their friends. And what do? They laugh a lot. You know, now you're home looking at your screens, watching the news, and you're being scared. And you're worrying and you're being anxious and you're, you know, even if you're not scared of COVID, you know, you're scared of what's going to happen if I go somewhere and I forget to put my mask on, you know? What if I stand too close to the person in the grocery store line? Like, I've got yelled at a few times because I'm so used to being close to people, and you know, and people always come up to me, and just I have this weird effect where people just are attracted to me and to talk to me, and they tell me their life stories in the grocery store line, you know. So like, you know, but I get yelled at by the workers, you know, sometimes, you know, you're standing too close, and I, you know, so, you know, all of that, you know, that lack of connection, the lack of laughter, you know, it does affect our mental and emotional well-being.
Okay. We have a caller calling in for the drive. Stephen, you're on the air. How are you today?
Yes, I'm doing good.
Thank you for calling. Great.
You're welcome. I just want to say I love the show and love listening to you both. And I wanted to particularly call in regarding Joanne's drive.
Uh-huh.
And it's been great. I've worked with her on this and on her class for the past 5 years, and and this year in particular. I know it's really needed. People are hurting. So, Joanne, I want to say that I'm going to get $150 in grocery certificates that you're doing for the families that are in need.
All right. Awesome. Thanks, Stephen. I really appreciate it. Now, Stephen, as you said, I recognize your voice and I know who you are. So, yeah, yes. Stephen has helped me for the last 5 years. Now, Stephen, in the past, you've shopped for gifts for the kids, though, right?
Correct.
Yeah, right. You never donated for groceries before, but you shopped for gifts. So thank you very much for that. Go ahead.
Done the toy gifts in the past, but I really like your idea this year as well with the groceries, because I know that is not only going to help children, but their families are in need too. And a lot of people are hurting right now with jobs and the COVID. So I really think that's great. And your care and your love really shines through on this cause.
All right. Thank you so much, Stephen.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Stephen, thank you much. You're going to go to Joanne's wish list and get the gift cards there? Is that how you're going to work it? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
I
super.
Coordinate.
Okay. Thank you very much. We really appreciate it, my friend. Have a great day.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care. Wait a minute. Joanne's got something for you.
Oh, no. Stephen, no. Here you go. I was going to just share something about how I used to do the process. But so prior to this year, what I would do is sign a person with a child. I would give them their first name, their age, their wish list, and their size of clothing. And so so everybody would go out there and shop for their child, so they would know exactly who the child is. So this year is a lot different, because a lot of people don't want to go shopping at the stores and deal with whatever we're dealing with. But this year, it's a lot different, and it's...
I personally found it very easy.
It is.
what like Joanne said, I just kept clicking, and the next thing you know, I had 16 items in the cart. And
right.
But the point is, a lot of the gifts that the kids have asked for are not really overly expensive. Mm-hmm. And so it was easy to buy three books. Like, there was one book that Joanne wanted three books for, and necklaces and stuff like that. And so consequently, I think there's ways that people can, and again, what Joanne is doing, which I think is fantastic, is even with the Venmo account that she has up, say like there's an expensive gift. I think there's one, somebody wants something. It's like a Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
It was like $300. Mm-hmm. And so you may not want to buy a $300 gift, but if six people donate $50, then we'll buy the $300 gift. I mean, so again, this can work out if people want to jump in. So again, Steve, thanks a lot. I really appreciate it. And
you're welcome. Thank you both.
Thanks for calling in, my friend. Take care.
All right. You're welcome. Take care.
So again, folks, that number is 888-329-3306. And before we go on, Joanne, again, why don't you talk about the drive and what we're trying to do here?
Yeah, so this is the 7th annual Foster Kid Christmas Gift Drive. I started this 7 years ago, trying to help foster children feel like someone's thinking about them, because that we all know when someone's thinking about us, we just feel better, and foster children especially, they're stuck in these strange homes, and these gifts coming in, it actually just touches them. So. And as I was a foster child from the age 13 until I was 18. So I do know personally how this feels. So, anybody who is willing to donate a gift or more, or donate a gift card or something else to help the children, that's really appreciated. And right now, especially children, they're suffering more than they ever were. Not just foster children, but all children. They're having struggles academically because they're learning online now instead of in person. And I have two daughters, and I see it with them. They're really smart girls, but their grades are not as good as they used to be. And the attention they're getting from their teachers is not as it once was. They have the lack of social interaction. They are being conditioned right now. Just as one of the most scariest things for me, they're being conditioned to think that other people are scary.
Right.
Other people are untrustworthy. Parents are forcing them to walk on the other side of the street when they see other people, and So children are going through a really hard time right now.
Well, you're starting to see, and before I jump in, again, call in at 888-329-3306. I know you folks are out there listening, so I expect these phone lines to start ringing. I want you people to call in and make a donation, because not only are we buying gifts, but we're trying to feed some families as well. So, I mean, I think it's important at this time, especially what this idiot governor did yesterday, that we help out if we're able to do so. So, again, it's 888-329-3306. To jump on your point, Joanne, one of the things that I've noticed, at least it's happened to me more than once, so I know it's happening to other people as well. Mm-hmm. I'm now even getting dirty looks from people when I hold the door for them to go into a Wawa or go into a store. It's like, hey, oh, don't hold that door for me, you know. And I'm there, what, you know. And so it's the social interaction. I mean, we're really becoming a society that, you know, one of the things that the mask wearers, and I get into arguments with them all the time on Facebook, and so they'll say to me, you don't care about the other person. Well, I'm sorry. Is holding the door that you're making us become a society that doesn't care about anybody.
Yeah.
You know, somebody's going to be broken down on the side of the road and they're going to say, I can't help you, man. You might have COVID, you know. I mean, I just don't get it.
Yeah, I'm laughing because I have that hesitation. You know, I can feel the conditioning happening to me, and I have an extremely strong mind. It's very well trained throughout all my experiences, but I'm even feeling the conditioning because I had to pick up paperwork from a printer today, and I went to hold the door open for him. And I'm thinking, maybe I should be standing across, you know, on the other side of the sidewalk.
Right.
But like, you know, we have those thoughts, you know, and wondering like, is this person going to be okay with this? And it's really sad.
It's almost like the indoctrination is happening now. I want to bring my friend Stan Casaccio in on it. Stan is here for the next show, but he comes in early sometimes and we bring him in. So Stan,
have to say, he's always so well dressed.
Well, I know I have the best face for radio, and I have the best clothes for radio. Also,
you definitely do.
So I want to bring you in on this because obviously you have a lot of clients that have to pay you rent. You own some buildings,
although they're not paying rent so much today because of Governor Wolf.
Yes. But you have movie theaters, you have gyms, you know, that are in your clientele.
Right, right.
How are they surviving? And you as a landlord, what are you doing? Because there is no new PPE loans or anything coming down the road.
Well, it's a great question. But before we do that, I think, Joanne, what you should do is you should propose that anybody who challenges Don to a workout, because they will definitely outshine him with no problems at all. It'll be benefit for them. They'll feel good about themselves and the whole thing. I think that should be
offered
idea that Don should offer himself up to.
I can win a pie eating contest.
So I like it. Let's encourage fitness, right?
Yes, encourage
all right, I'll
fitness.
Tell you what.
Challenge Don to a fitness workout.
Yeah, anybody that wants to donate $100, I will do that.
I'll be the first one in on that. So just put me down because I want to do
all
that.
Right. And can we videotape it?
That would be way too much fun to videotape.
We'll have to do a Facebook Live for that one.
Well, as you know, I have.
Are you going to wear your suit while you do it too?
We can do that. It might make it even then. He can wear his shorts. I'll wear my suit.
More of a fair contest. Yes.
I won't wear my shorts because you won't be able to see all the braces underneath it.
That's good. That's something I'd love
Besides
to see.
Besides that, you don't want to really see me in shorts anyway.
Yeah, I know. I was just trying to vision that.
Well, maybe right if we do enough of these contests, you will look better in shorts, right?
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
We'll do the leg workout. But, you know, you ask a real good question because I will tell you every day we see stuff. Pet Value is a major, I'll give you a perfect example. Pet Value, they've been one of my shopping centers for literally 25, 30 years. And they're a Canadian company, but they just notified every landlord that has a store in the United States, they're closing every store.
Oh, my goodness.
Even though our particular store has always done very, very well, they've had great clientele and everything else, but they're pulling out of the United States. We have a couple LA Fitnesses, and of course, they're down to 50% occupancy. There's no, I've talked to the managers, there's no indication that anybody's caught COVID there. And of course, when you go in there, and Joanne, you know this, when they go in there, I mean, they're spraying stuff constantly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy what's going on. And you think about it, you know, I've always been involved in working out and everything else. I used to do, believe it or not, out there, I used to do bodybuilding competition shows, all natural. And I've worked out in every sweatbox kind of gym you could think of, out in Tarsdale Avenue, down in K&A area. Yeah. I mean, they were like real, I mean, the equipment, I think, actually you'd scrape off the mold before you lay down on it.
I can concur with that because I used to bodybuild as well, and I've worked out some pretty hardcore gyms, like hardcore, and they're very dirty.
My youngest son, when he's back, when he was living here, but even when he comes back, he works out at Greg Long's gym in Feasterville. And Greg's gym is that kind of gym. Yeah. It's down in the basement, and it's all iron weights. There's no machines.
The reason why I brought that up was, you know, even in those particular times, I was always careful to make sure afterwards I washed my hands, didn't touch my face and things of that nature.
Yes.
So I did those things on a common basis because you were just dealing with, always had towels to make sure that I wasn't really touching the equipment itself. So a lot of common sense things. Plus, you know, this goes back 40 years ago when I started. I always did flu shots.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I always took my flu shots. So for the most part, I very seldom, develop flu or anything else like that. So again, today's gyms are so much healthier, so much cleaner places to work at. Most of the gyms that do well, the 24-hour gyms, the LA Fitnesses, the big one now is the sports club ones, the huge 200,000 square foot gyms.
Like Jim Worthington's at the
right. And Jim Worthington, I tell you, Jim Worthington, you can eat off the floor in that place.
Yes,
right.
So
Jim runs a great, great shop. So common sense says that you can handle it.
Yep.
And so I have no, I just don't understand. You know, they keep on saying, let's follow the science. Let's follow the science. And I'm saying, okay, the science is saying this, but something entirely different is coming out.
Right.
So I have a real problem with that. Now, getting back to some of my other clients, the restaurants like Bertucci's has been around a long time. They're asking for lower rents because, you know, they can't do things. We have any number of groups of people that are coming in, and we have done that because we're when we rent something out, at least in my company, our philosophy has always been, especially in commercial usage and retail usage, is once you rent a store to someone, you in effect become their partners, because you only collect rent if they're successful.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to do everything you can to help them be successful, keep the center clean, to go the extra mile for all your tenants and clients that you have there, and it makes it a better, clean place. So we're dealing with it. Just basically everybody. We're trying to get everybody to make it. The Starbucks, all the different ones we have.
Well, and one of the things people need to understand is these businesses, even if they stay open at 25% capacity or 50% capacity, their utility bills aren't being reduced by 50% or 75%. You know, their food bills, you know.
Well, I'll tell you how you
the cost of supplies are actually going up.
Yeah. I'll tell you how, you know, we can complain about this, but here's the answer. You want to get government focused on following the science and help out. If Doug were here, I would ask, Senator, I would like to pass an interim bill that pretty much cuts every commercial real estate tax in half or three quarters until the pandemic's over. Mm-hmm. So let government put their face, put their name on it. Let government suffer like these people are suffering. And that would be something that I would say that the government would say, okay, do that.
Well,
do you think I've been in front of a couple school boards.
Right.
Yeah.
And you go in there and say, listen, we're in a hard time. You know, we can't rent space. The value isn't there. Guess what? You got to go appeal it. You got to do all this other stuff. You got to spend money on lawyers. They won't give you a darn thing.
Well, no. Nancy Pelosi let it out of the bag when she said we purposely did not pass a stimulus bill, or one that the president or the Senate would, because we were using it. It was a political tool. So they don't, you know, the Democrats love to say that they're for the people. They're not for the people.
No.
Yeah. So let's put this into perspective. So just to give you an idea, there are 1,345 Pennsylvania health clubs. So all of those health clubs are being forced to close down, if they listen, of course, being forced to close down. So all of their employees. There are also 1,904,850 residents that use these health clubs. So all of these people now don't have that place to go work out comfortably like they are used to. So this is affecting a lot of businesses, a lot of employees, a lot of people's health.
Well, think of, and that, not only that, Joanne, think about what you just said. 1 million-something people, they're
almost
not
almost 2 million.
They're not paying dues.
Nope.
Well, and so obviously there's no money coming into the business.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
AMC just announced today that as of next month, they're $750 million short in cash. They will probably be closing all of their theaters because of this thing, and they're not getting any help. So, and a landlord could cut their rents, but if it, they still have overhead and carrying costs,
right,
that doesn't help them at all. That's just a small part of the percentage of their expenses.
And then I like to think of the long term effect too. And I'm going to stick to this financially. I'm also going to bring in the restaurant industry. So there are 26,548 establishments for eating and drinking here in Pennsylvania. So, and they bring in $24 billion in estimated sales. And these numbers are from 2018. So all of that, all those sales, the tax that the state brings in from that, the tax that the state brings in from these health clubs, we're not getting that money right now. So where is all of that money that's being lost right now going to come from?
Well, think about it.
Our taxes are going to have to be raised from all this.
That's why these Democratic states are pushing Nancy Pelosi and the Dems in Congress, that they want us, the taxpayer, to foot the bill
for the cities.
And the thing is, what people don't understand
for
is a lot of
unnecessary action.
A lot of these places like California, New York, and so forth, they were already in financial distress. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to look at COVID as a way to get out of their previous financial difficulties.
And wait about this. Wait until they do the new Green New Deal, and then you have to pay $6 and $7 a gallon for gas.
Exactly.
And all those things. But look, the reality is, You have to understand the basic economics. Increasing taxes destroys your economic base. If you look at every tax increase that ever occurred, there was an immediate reaction in which the economy slowed down. When George Bush Sr., remember Read My Lips, No New Taxes,
right,
and then being a typical rhino Republican, he raised taxes. What happened? It destroyed the economy, and he didn't get reelected. Ross Perot attacked him for that, and he blames Ross Perot, but he never looked in the mirror and pointed to himself, because if he'd have stood up to the Democrats and didn't do it, he would have had a much stronger economy. As soon as he did it, the economy went to hell in a haybasket. Also, Clinton did the same thing, mm-hmm, and what happened? He lost the House and Senate for the first time in 40 years because the economy went down the toilet.
Right.
So I'm telling you right now, if you want to destroy this economy, this is exactly what you do. You freeze out economics, mm-hmm, you raise taxes, destroys people's lives, and so that's why I'm saying, if I could have my magic wand, I would have the legislature pass that every county in Pennsylvania has to cut their taxes, the school taxes and everything else in half. One other thing, I would like an investigation into looking at every death that has been the claim that it was a COVID-19 death.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I believe that the numbers are rigged.
Yep.
I believe that it's clear that this has been a fraud in the American people to control us, to keep us from meeting. When the left sees 40-some thousand people saying, "I love you" to Donald Trump, they absolutely go berserk, mm-hmm, in every way. So they need to stop that from happening.
Yes.
So this COVID thing is much, much deeper than anything. It reminds me of the Joe Biden situation. And although I was going to save it for my show, I might as well give your listeners on this show a little tidbit. You know, at one time, Joe Biden went to meet with President Xi from China, mm-hmm, and he brought Hunter, as we all know. So they were supposed to meet the president. This is a true story. They were supposed to meet the president in the mansion. But when they got to the mansion, they were doing gardening work, and there was mud all over the place, so they rolled up their pants, and they went into sit down. And so while we're waiting for Xi, Hunter says to Joe, he says, "Joe, take down your pants." And Joe looked at him and says, "You mean we owe him that much?" Just kidding. It's a joke.
Oh, it's
a
one joke. Of your great jokes. Okay.
So you have to catch up.
See,
Joanne,
so well.
Joanne lives a very sheltered life. She hasn't hung around me long enough.
Okay, so again, there's 7 minutes left in the show, so the toll-free number is 888-329-3306. Please call in, make a donation for the drive. We'll be asking you again next week, so you're not going to get off easy. So,
what's your number? What you mentioned that your website and stuff like that.
Well, actually, I do have a link on my website as well. My website is joannesuppressi.com, and there is a tab for the foster kid Christmas gift drive as well on there. It's also on my Twitter, at Joanne Suppressi.
Spell Suppressi.
C-I-P-R-E-S-S-I.
So the one thing I do want to touch on, besides what the governor did yesterday, is the continuing election situation. And we only have a few minutes left, so I did want to bring that up. So we have this lawsuit going on in Texas that Texas has filed, and many states have now jumped in on that. And this actually has a lot of merit to it, because if one state's actions harms another state, the Supreme Court has to take the case. That's how these things are settled. And I think we're up to about 17 states now have jumped in. It might even be up into the 20s now. I'm not really sure.
23 states.
23 states total.
Wow.
And so there is a chance here. But really what bothers me is what they've been saying as some of these courts, their answers. And their answers are, well, there has been some fraud or some irregularities, but not enough to overturn the election. Well, if there is some fraud or some irregularity, then you know, that it doesn't have to be widespread. It only had to be targeted. It only had to be targeted, like in Philadelphia and Southeast Pennsylvania, in Allegheny County, Detroit, Michigan, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. You know, Milwaukee, where at 3:30 a.m., 158,000 votes showed up, and I think 3,000 of them were for President Trump and the rest for Joe Biden. Or what they did in Georgia when they cleared out the room, and they have this on videotape. They told everybody to leave, but four mysterious people stayed and continued to count votes, and more votes showed up. Isn't that incredible? But yet they told everybody to leave because there was a water main break. It was a toilet overflowing. That's what it was. Okay, so one of my representatives, who I'm not going to name because I'm trying to give these people the benefit of the doubt, what was said was, well, I'm not going to support this, and this is a Republican, because I don't want to disenfranchise voters that made a legal vote. And my response was, what about my vote? Mm-hmm. I feel that my vote was disenfranchised by people that cast an illegal vote, or votes were counted because of legal actions of the people that were counting.
Yep.
I said, so the disenfranchisement article or argument works both ways. There's two sides to the coin. I mean,
so your vote, but also how many of us have worked hard, knocked on doors, donated money to their campaigns, who have talked to our friends, had parties at their house, you know, and invited them there so they could speak to our friends. There have been so many people who feel betrayed right now because many of our state reps in Bucks County are not supporting this. Personally, I feel like stepping back and not helping them next time around.
Well, I think what people have to do right now, and I've been advocating this for everybody, is you must contact your Republican representative and your Republican state senator. And if you aren't represented by them, find the closest one to you and write them a letter, call their office, and tell them you expect them to maintain the courage to back this president up, because this goes a lot deeper than anything that we're seeing on the surface. This is not about Trump. This is about America's rugged individuality. The left does not want that. The left wants us to become Europe, where if you become a waiter, you're a waiter for life. You can't get out of it. If you're a street cleaner, you're a street cleaner for life. There's no attempt in those societies for you to be the best version of yourself. So this is what this fight's about. It's about the American dream, and that's real important, to let them know you expect them to have the guts to stand up. And I also like to say, we have to begin looking for the Republican populist group, people who have the courage to stand up for the people and not for government.
Yeah, we're in the fight to save our country. Well, so it's very important to do that.
Exactly right. That's the real thing here that people have to understand, is that what is at stake here is the survival of the republic. Because you had 75 million people vote for President Trump. And look, I can get into statistics. I've done a deep dive on the statistics. The statistics tell me that Joe Biden didn't win this election. If you look at the numbers, they just don't prove out. But forget all that. Right now, you have 76% of Republicans that don't believe that this election was fair, that it was right. But the bigger number is 39% of total voters don't believe that the election was right. Those are the numbers. So this country does not survive if people don't have faith in the integrity of the election process.
Can I add one thing to what you just said, Don? 17% of the people that voted for Joe Biden would not have voted for him if the media had not suppressed the Biden-Hunter story about how for 47 years the Biden family has been selling out America based on their selling of their name. Because how does a politician... 47-year politician on a politician's salary be worth millions and millions of dollars? He doesn't have a factory. He didn't develop anything like Trump. What does he have to sell? And who he has to sell is us.
Yep. Well, Joanne, we're just about ready to go off, so just finish it up.
Somebody just sent me a text that's listening to us, and they basically said, the reps need to keep hearing this. We're simply not going to fight for people who don't fight for us.
Exactly right. Yeah. Well, I want to thank everybody for tuning in this week. We'll be back next week. Don't forget, you can go to Joanne's website. You can go to my Facebook page, click on the link, make a donation, buy a gift, and we'll hit you up again next week so you're not getting off the hook. Everybody have a great weekend.
Yeah, thank you. Have a great weekend.